It's tea time again, bitches. Chester, Gary, and Damon wake up to dish on the naughty going-ons as they catch up on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. The guys struggle through some pretty princesses, some talk show hijinks, and some review negligee. Which princess will say goodnight? Find out at CLL Drag Race Tea Time Season 9, Episodes 3 and 4 starts now.
All right, so hey everybody, welcome to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time Season 9, episode numbers 3 and 4. It's our recap show, and it's actually April 18th, 2017. I know. We just did one the other day, but we just couldn't help ourselves. We wanted to get caught up. So here we are yet again. One of our fans apparently is like designing cupcakes, which sounds very sweet, but we're not sure what the story is with him. So let's get started with a little music, shall we?
RuPaul Drag Race.
There we go. I'm all discombobulated. And for those of you that don't know, I'm Gary, and with me, as always, are my fierce co-hosts.
It's Damon. Hi. How are everybody doing?
Hi, it's Chester.
And we're going to talk about the two most recent episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race, which technically means we're about to be caught up.
Yeah.
So to speak. So, you know, it's season 9, and it's funny because things start to blend together for me. So I'm like, wait, what happened when? Whatever. And this two episode at a time thing's messing with my head right now. But why don't we jump right into it? So first impressions, what we kind of thought initially. So my title of my thought is bridging the two episodes together. Talent lacking princesses to snoozy bedroom attire.
Okay.
Yeah. Draggly Ever After, I think is what the title of the show, episode 3 was. I was not really wowed by anybody. And I sorry. Nobody really moved me with their runway, you know, bedroom, whatever.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like I'm sitting here. Okay, I'm going to put it like this. In comparison to the first two episodes where we got the Gagas and we got the white looks, I was kind of underwhelmed with the nighty stuff. But then again, if I'm being honest, a lot of it looked like, oh, let's go to Victoria's Secret and buy some stuff, as opposed to let's make something really, really extravagant and different. I mean, some people maybe did make some stuff, but it just didn't come off that way in the nightgown, nighty stuff, the naughty 90s, as it were. I wasn't as big a fan of some of it. And I can't even, as I'm looking at my notes, I don't even remember. Oh, the princesses were the runway walking for episode 3. So yeah. They're not so wowed. You're not wowed. You're just whelmed. You're not overwhelmed. You're not underwhelmed. You're just whelmed.
Just whelmed.
Yeah. I am not feeling the earth move under my feet. The sky's not tumbling down, girls. Nothing. And I got something to say about one of those fucking lip syncs. We'll get to that later. Anyways. David, what are your first impressions?
Well, for me, so I'm just going to throw this out there because I'm kind of like sitting here going, it happened in both episodes, at the start of both episodes, and I was like, what's with all this Valentina hate? Like, I get that it's a competition, but like they're like hating on her, and I don't know if it's because she's only been doing drag for 10 months, she says, or what, but it's catching me a little off guard. And I mean, the good thing for her, for that I'm getting, is that she doesn't really care. Like, she's letting it, like, it's not phasing her so much. She's still being her mostly, but it was just, there was just a lot of hate is bothering me. And it was one of the first things that kind of really, really got to me about this, these past two, these three, episode 3 and 4. And again, stuff to go on to later on, but it was definitely my first impression, especially, you know, people like Aja, and there were a few people who was just like, wow, like, what's going on here? So yeah.
Chester. So for me, my first impressions of 3 and 4, I will agree with Gary in that everything, you know, I'm not overwhelmed with any of them. There are certain queens who are doing things that I'm like, oh, that's really good that person did that. Or, you know, they have moments, but as a whole, none of them are really doing it for me. But I will say that I think we're starting to see the competition show its colors. We're seeing which queens are cracking under the pressure. We're seeing which queens can keep their head cool under the pressure. We've seen some step out of their comfort zone and do things that they don't normally do, like, you know, a pageant queen doing comedy. Yeah, overall, we're starting to see a little bit into their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I agree with both of you that one particular queen is already apparently, in the eyes of the other competitors, the one to, like, you know,
beat.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. Like they're already starting to see how, despite everything they say in their pre-show interviews about how I'm my own biggest enemy, I'm like, well, that may be true, but I see a lot of you, like, starting to pay attention to one person in particular. So I think that, you know, that may be true for Valentina. And yeah, we're finally starting to get into the meat of, like, the competition, that people are starting to say things and be very, yeah, very 100 with their feelings. So
I'm coming after you, bitch.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that one kind of surprised me, but I take it from the way we saw the show. I don't want to call it the edit, but the way it was presented, it wasn't as vicious as the it out to be. So we'll see. Ready for the next topic area?
Yeah.
So our thoughts on these episodes, I feel that the personalities are coming forward, that we're really starting to get a feel for some of the competitors, most of the competitors. I'm starting to, like, get who is, really kind of, you know, in their head about the game, who's paying attention to things. I don't think anybody's kind of holding back in terms of,
yeah,
you know, their thoughts about stuff, especially as of episode 4, because even the quieter individuals are kind of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, I think that, you know, we're at that point now where we're starting to get a taste, a feel for who each individual is. There's more I want to say about that, but I'll wait till later, because there's a couple particular individuals that I was like, that were very notable to. So.
Interesting.
Damon?
Interesting. So, like, a lot of the stuff, these two episodes, particularly for me, came up with, they had two concepts of creativity and improv. to put it simply. In the episode 3, they had to create the princess. They had to come up with the folklore. They had to come up with a little buddy, you know, and all this stuff, and come up with this thing and be creative and come up with, you know, do this amazing gown or whatever and present yourself. So it was a design challenge, but it was also a bit of a, like, think and mental kind of challenge to come up with something creative that doesn't stink of someone else or something else. Like, I was a little bothered by some of the princesses basically being copies of some of, like, the well-known Disney princesses and what have you.
By that, are you referring to how much or how many mermaid-looking things there were?
Yes, definitely that. And the fact that a mermaid gown is something probably that you can make easily, straight down and bellow out. Anyway, so there's that part. And then with the episode 4 was the talk show where, yes, they had a script, but there was also some improv out elements there, and you had to be create your own characters and, you know, kind of have fun with it. And some people did really well with that. Some people did really, really well with that. And some people definitely did not. Ooh, children, there's some things that you need to learn about. I get that there's a script. And that's great that there's a script. And sometimes it's good to stick to the script. But you sometimes need to have fun and go outside of that script or make it your own. Any actor will tell you that, yes, you have some lines that you have to read, but unless you make them your own, it feels really dead.
Yeah.
So, and finally, I'm going to say it again. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I've said it pretty much every time we've done this show when there's a design challenge. This is season 9. We're on season 9. On this show, Etta know how to sew. Like, come on, come on. this is getting like, come on. Like, it is nothing new. It is nothing that has never been done before. You're always going to be building something. You're not going to be. You're never not going to build something on RuPaul's Drag Race. Therefore, you need to have some skills, pick up a fucking sewing machine, go to some sewing classes, get some basic knowledge or understanding so that you don't get ridiculed by Todrick Hall on the judges panel. Like, come on. Like, it's And on the flip of, on, not the flip of that, but on the other side of that, don't be a baby about it either. You knew this was coming. At some point, no matter how far you went on in this show, you were going to be building something. So when you're building something and you're whining a little bit about it, you know who I'm talking to. You know who I'm talking about. I got you in my eyes. Name starts with Farah, ends with Moan. it's one of the, like, that's one of my biggest, like, pet peeves about the show. Like it is, and the only reason I'm saying it is because it's not anything new. First season challenge was building something. And every season since, there's been at least one, if not multiple, meaning crafting, making something. Watch Project Runway. Do something. Come on. Rant over.
Well, I'm going to go into more on that a little bit later about how certain queens don't know how to do certain things. on a drag
yeah
show or drag queen show, being nine seasons mm-hmm. into it. But I want to talk about the production of the show. I know in the last recording I mentioned something about the lighting being off, but the episode 3 and 4, did you guys notice that there weren't any mini challenges?
I've noticed it.
I don't think there weren't any in 1 or 2. And I kind of understood that because their challenge, the main challenge for 1 and 2, was a pretty big challenge.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't understand why there's no mini challenge in 3 or 4. Maybe there is, and we're just not seeing it. Let's see. What else have I noticed?
Well, I think one of the things that so far what she has been doing, normally the mini challenges would determine who were the captains, and they would be the ones that would pick the teams and what have you. These past 2 or 3 episodes, the captains have kind of been like not really random, but like in episode 2, it was Cynthia and was it Nina? So whoever, no, yeah, Nina, but Nina Brown.
Well, there was a reason why those two were picked. Nina won the CUND challenge, and Cynthia came back. That's why those two were picked.
Yeah,
right.
And then in episode E, the teams were, it was Aja and Trinity, because Trinity won the last challenge, and Aja stayed on, didn't sashay away. Yeah, so it was like, and I don't know if this is something new that they're doing. I love sometimes the mini challenges were a lot of fun, and they keep it going, because the one that I'm hoping for is the reading challenge.
Yes, I noticed your shirt.
I hope to God they keep that in there, because the library needs to open on these bitches.
Yeah, I'm sure it's coming one of these days, pretty soon. The other thing I noticed that the walkthroughs with Rue has been very low. In episode 3, there were a few of them, but we didn't get any in episode 4. And then on episode 4, the other thing that I noticed is the runway looks went by super, super fast. They were only up there for like 3 seconds. Rue said their name.
Wow.
Maybe one of the judges got in one of their little pun jokes. And then they went to the next person. And it was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to get in and not actually see it.
Yeah, I
did notice that, Chester. I think it's purely editing for production, because they spent a fair amount of time on other stuff. So I think because of the team challenge stuff between the two talk shows in episode 4, they were spending a lot of juxtaposition build on the drama that we knew was going to erupt later. So it made sense when we saw the cat fight bitchiness on the runway as we're getting close to elimination between two very particular competitors. I think that was the whole point, was so that the viewers would not only know that it's coming, but have some sense of reality about what was said versus what actually happened. And then if you watch Untucked, that drama continues on later again. So I think that's the price that they pay for production, is to say, listen, we've got, you know, probably more than 100 hours per episode invested, and we have to cut it down to 40 minutes or whatever it is. So, yeah, it's kind of crappy, because I noticed that immediately as well. But to be fair, I didn't care that much for the bedroom, you know,
the nightgown.
Boudoir kind of stuff. I mean, I thought it was funny that Michelle Visage pointed out, and she was like, well, you three over here kind of look like you paid attention to what the concept of the challenge was, and you three over here are hookahs.
I do gotta, you know, give praise to Matthew for pointing that out. And he's like, no, they're still going to the bedroom. They're just doing different things in the bedroom.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I will say that for me, while it did not scream bedroom, I think Eureka's outfit was like channeling divine, but like if she made a hell of a lot of money and became a high-priced madam, you know, like she looked good. I was just like, oh, well, alrighty yeah. then. I'm like, that's oh making my. A statement. I know. So, yeah, I mean, so I found that kind of interesting, but yeah, I was kind of like, eh. I think I was more disturbed the breastplate stuff. Nobody looked like they had a bad one. That's not what I mean. Mm. I just, it's a thing in the culture and the art that I'm just never really been a big, I don't know. It's never really been something that I care that much for.
Yeah.
And if it's flawless, you can't clock it. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and people were kind of like, ooh, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've seen a show with a queen who had a breastplate in, and people were arguing adamantly whether or not they were real. So that's what I mean when they're done well. But otherwise, I think they're just expected to be in your bag of tricks now. And I don't like that because I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the same argument, I guess, as like nails and heels and lashes.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know. So that was the part about this runway thing at the end of episode 4. I was like, I'm like, oh, look at all the titties on display.
titties. Like, I don't know. Breastplates have always been a bone of contention for me because I like the idea, but I agree with you. That's one of my things. Like, if you're going to do it, it should really be like very, very close to your skin tone and not easily clock, because the minute to me I notice it, I'm like, oh well, you're wearing a breastplate, and I'm like, it doesn't really, you know, like I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. Nina Bonina Brown's one in the nightwear one, definitely clockable, and personally, I hated it because I'll be perfectly frank, I would have rather her have not worn it at all. And just kept her regular, although I like that when girls have padding and breasts and what have you, in that particular instance, I would have rather her not worn it at all because it looks so fake and out there. And you put the tape on it because whatever, and I would have rather you've had something covering it to give it a little better look. Otherwise, it just looks... You could tell that you've got this something on. Hmm. It's not your actual breast, which, you know, it's fine, but it didn't like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Chester, you were talking about with the mini challenge thing, the stuff from production.
Yeah.
Is there something else that you think has kind of been missing?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. There's like, okay. I don't know. I mean,
I will say, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I'm missing seeing Rue do like the walkthrough, because I think when he does those, he's giving the best feedback for them possible. And it also sets up if they're going to do well or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because if Rue comes in there and says, hey, you know, I like your concept, but it needs polished, and they do that, they usually do well. If he goes in there and says, this looks like shit, and that queen says, well, I don't care what you says or what you say, and they do it anyway, they get red to filth for it.
But I will say this much. One of the things that I really, really, really loved, because he did do a walkthrough somewhat on episode 3. And one of the things I laughed out loud at was Trinity and Rue's back and forth during
the chocolate
their
starfish
sort of moment. Yes, the chocolate starfish. I was in here like listening to this, watching the episode, and I was like, they are not going there. Oh, they went there, and now they're bringing kids into it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. This is so horrible, but it's so, so funny.
Yeah, I agree that that was one of the highlights. Like, comedically, it made me laugh. I was really entertained by the back and forth. And I was proud of Trinity that she held her own.
Yeah.
Like, that was that she can banter. You know what I mean? Like, have that tête-à-tête, like, you know, head-to-head between the two of them on that comedic kind of level. And so I was really happy about that. I thought that was funny. But I agree with you, Damon. I was like, oh, are we going? Oh, yep, we're going there. Okay.
Yeah, like... And we went there, and it was like, okay, and here we are, and yeah, that was the best part, was that it wasn't just Rue. Trinity was going hidden. Yeah, Rue was throwing them at her, and she was hitting them back. Like, it wasn't a like Rue was really, really funny, because we know Rue has that comedic aspect to her, and. Good. Like, I was very impressed. Very, very super impressed by that.
Yeah, I think Chester in episode 4, the walkthrough with RuPaul was missing because they were working in groups. And sometimes, I don't know if it's all the time, but I know some of the time Ru gives them some advice or checks in with them, and in this case didn't. And I think in this case, it was a good thing because they had nothing but themselves to hold responsible for their performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess that's true.
And in one team shined and one team did not. And had Rue been there and talked to them, I think the team that struggled probably would have figured that out before they got on set.
Yeah.
Because I think the opening of their television back and forth, Rue would have been like, hey, nobody want to see that in the morning. And then they would have changed direction and taken that out. So, yes. Yeah, I understood what they were doing when they explained it later and Trinity gave the backstory and everything. And I was like, well, what you just said was not exactly what I saw. And. Yeah. I agree with the assessment from Naya or Michelle or whoever. One of the judges said, basically, like, ain't nobody going to want to watch that in the morning. Like, you know, when they're waking up and getting ready for work.
To be fair, I understood where Trinity was going with it. She just didn't deliver it very well.
Yeah.
I understood what they were trying to do. It just didn't read well.
Yeah. It was a failure upon delivery. It was a failure of delivery, really. It could have been really, really funny if they had amped it up quite a bit. You know, I mean, if you were like, if they were saying things and you said that, like they said things under their breath to each other, like mocking kind of like bitchy kind of tones, like that would have been it. Like, here we are with this. So how are you doing, you ungrateful bitch? You know, it just would have been like something that, like, just, you know, it would have worked. Like, you know, just that's been hilarious.
No, I agree with you that part of it was delivery. I mean, the execution was kind of, and the worst part of it is that there's nothing to save you because it's just Matthew Ross directing you and camera crew, well, lighting crew. I mean, but that's it. Like, there's no audience. There's no sound. I mean, they add sound effects afterwards, but, you know, it's always the, you know, wah, 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 wah kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
There was nothing. It was like either it's funny or it ain't.
Yeah, and that's sort of the thing. You didn't get a whole lot of, you know, in a scene like that, what they were kind of going for, you need an audience to kind of laugh and, you know, laugh at it. Like, oh, you know, that's they're, oh, okay, they're catty and bitchy about, you know, because they slept with my man or whatever. If you would, people would have gotten that, but they didn't have that. They didn't have any of that. And the only people they had were their teammates. And unless they all know it, And that's another failure about it. I don't know if they all knew that. The things according, that came out.
Right. Yeah. According to one of the competitors, Charlie pointed out, had they rehearsed it more, they would have. She was focusing on the end of their talk show performance as opposed to what started at the beginning. But I think that it would have worked in both directions for them. And the other thing I just realized is, like, it was new that it was live. Like, that was a new bar that got raised because we're used to being agitated at all the takes that to like take two, take three, like whatever. And usually Michelle, especially if she's in the director's seat, she's kind of like, that's it. Like, it's in the can, like you only get two shots or whatever. Like, you don't get to mess around with it. And this time I was surprised when they were like, it is going to be live. And I was like, live, like who's watching it live? So I'm thinking like, we're going to see a shot of Rue and the judges, like watching a TV screen in the other building or something. Like it's closed circuit TV. And that doesn't happen. And there's no audience because like most morning talk shows, well, I'm thinking of Regis and Kathy Lee days. You know what I mean? Where like there's this big audience or like the talk or the view and none of that was there for them. So instead it was kind of like, you know, what's her name? The two drunk ones. That's so sad to say that. On the Today Show, Leah and Huda, whatever the hell, Kathy Lee, yes. Kathy Lee and Huda. you tell I don't watch. Drunk one. That's what they're known for. They're always fucking drinking, or at least everyone says they're always drinking or got a glass of wine or something going on. Anyways. You know, so there, I mean, they don't really have an audience. So that was kind of.
Yeah. Woo. All right.
Ready to move on?
Yeah, I think so. All right.
I got the whole thing this time.
Made it all the way through.
Yes. I know. All right. So this is our thoughts on Untucked. There's kind of like three things I wanted to talk about. So I bridged them together. Kai Kai's speeches and disrespect. So episode 3 Untucked, they get to the Kai Kai question, which seems to be a new... a newer season discussion, and they are just serving each other all sorts of tea about who they want to get naked with from the other competitors. So for those that don't know, Kai Kai is a reference to a drag queen having sex with another drag queen. So I was not prepared for that talk. I just kind of figured that was a discussion that doesn't happen on camera, but they went there.
Really?
Yeah, well,
I've think heard more talk about that before.
Well, I think more often than not, they're not quite as open. Like Nina Bonina Brown was the only one that we saw that was like, no, I can't. Like, not going to have that discussion.
Okay, that's true.
Where everybody else that was back there. Now, to be fair, it wasn't all the contestants. It was just the winning team.
Yeah.
They were Good Morning Bitches, which, by the way, was the better name of the two shows. So I'm happy they won. It really kind of surprised me. And it helps explain in the next episode why Sasha and Shea Coulee nearly have sex on camera. So, because I was not ready for that. I was like, wait, what is happening? Like, I'm watching them and I'm like, this is live. Like, is this supposed to be like silently? Okay.
Okay. You gotta admit, there was some good chemistry though.
Oh, yes, there was. I applauded them for the lesbianic drag like tension in their segment. And all the props go to them for literally eating like a mouthful of raw broccoli on camera because the whole point is to get to the RuPaul chocolate bar in the middle that they are nowhere near at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I will get to that later.
So the Kai Kai between Sasha and Shea Coulee came together in the next episode on cam, so to speak. I was like, oh yeah, all right, now I get it. I see the connection there. Like, they're really all up in each other's business. So,
literally
speeches. Yeah, people this season got something to say, and I don't know if this is an indication of where we are as a culture, that everybody feels that I need to have my moment, God damn it, and I'm going to make my statement. I don't know. So Kimora mm-hmm. Black does this kind of dramatic moment.
Oh, yeah.
In episode 3's Untucked, and
yeah.
I don't know. I mean... I'll talk about her more later, but anyways, it was a thing. I was like, what's going on? Because now we got to say something for everybody to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there were speeches in that seemed to be coming a thing in the Untucked, and then the disrespect. I have just about reached my goddamn motherfucking limit with a certain contestant. If I was on that show and that shit kept happening, I probably would slap a bitch.
Uh-oh.
I just... Wait. I'm... What?
Which one? What are we talking about? Wait.
I'm talking about the one that never shuts her fucking mouth and talks over other people. Like right now, what you and I are doing.
Wait. Let me finish.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
This group of contestants, notably, it seems the ones that are more seasoned, and seasoned for me means they have been doing the art of drag for a while, seem to have more respect for each other and to try to let other people talk and let them have a voice and, you know, not talk over them and things like that. And then there is one contestant right now who I am really irritated with. And I'm like, and if you don't change your tune, girl, I don't give a shit. If you go all the way to the end, I don't want to see you. You're just rude. And that is unforgivable in my book. You well, can't
now I'm
be
curious of who you're
like
talking
that.
About.
Yeah.
What?
Wait,
is it that obvious?
See, to me, there's two.
No, to me, there's somebody who's constantly talking over somebody, and she's always got to get her mouth into the conversation. Said, then there's seasoned queens that they don't do that. And there is one particular queen who is seasoned who is doing that.
Okay. If she is seasoned, as in like years of doing drag, then that makes it
that
compounds interest.
I don't know if you heard what I said. I said, I don't know how seasoned she is, but obviously more than 10 months.
Yeah. No, I'll just own it. I'll just say it. It's Eureka, the big girl.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She don't well, shut how her long mouth.
How long has she been doing drag?
I don't know. Can we look that up?
Who knows?
Yeah, I'll look it up. Keep
production assistant. Many production assistants, just so everybody knows. I'm just being silly. I don't know if we have that anywhere.
It might be somewhere.
I'm looking.
Okay.
It's all good.
She probably said it at some point, but my whole point is like I am reaching detox levels of had it officially with her. I've just
Oh gosh. Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
She just won't shut her God blessed hole. And I'm like, and it was really bad in the episode 4 Untucked when her and Trinity go at it.
Good God.
Trinity is like I don't blame Trinity for snapping. Because when Trinity finally like just reached the end of it, she said, you know, she said, no, you're done. And I'm going to tell you why you're done. Yes. And I was like, woo! I was like, here we go.
I loved that line. Like, I was sitting there like, she did just say that. Yes, she did. Like,
to me, that is equivalent on par with Shangela and the drink in the face moment when she was like, because what? I am sickening. Like, I mean, it was just like foot stomp.
Yeah.
Like, I have made my statement. Only Trinity was just gearing up. I mean, she was ready to go to church. She was winding up on her delivery because I think she wanted to make her case. And I see where both of them were coming from, but I kind of have to agree with Trinity. Like, you know, and because unfortunately for Eureka, she started to lose ground when other contestants were disagreeing with some of the things that she was saying.
Yeah.
About how,
and here's my thing.
Trinity was.
Here's my thing. This was one of the where Eureka is coming from, and I kind of side with her, but not so much, only just because we didn't see everything that happened in the workroom for them getting ready. What we saw was the way kind of Eureka described it, was Trinity came in and she said, you guys are going to do this, you guys are going to do this, we're going to do this, and then let's break up and work on our stuff separately, and that was the end of it. Now, again, a leader, her, would have gone around and checked to see how everyone's doing and seeing if things were working, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there would have been, I get that part of it. However, as someone who has been on many teams and stuff, if you're having issues or you don't feel like it's working or whatever, then you say something to your leader and make a point to be like, hey, you know, this shit isn't working, or maybe we should do something together so that we all kind of know the flow of stuff, or blah, 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 you know, something like that. And note of today or whatever it was called, not on today or whatever it was called, Eureka and Nina's combination thing was the best. Really, really good. I really, really, like, I found that entertaining, especially considering what happened before and after it. The interview was shit. I felt really so uncomfortable for Naya Rivera during that interview. I was like, holy shit, this is really bad. And then they didn't
end.
Well,
that didn't have anything to do with Eureka, though.
But again, it was all of them together. That's probably part of the script that they got. There should have been something like, you know, that's why Charlie was like,
there was no cohesion between that group.
Yeah. I'm seeing that they're ending, and someone needs to say that we need to end this. And like, she just literally blurts out, oh, well, that's it.
Right. Yeah.
We're left with this awkward.
It did. It train wrecked. And to tie in quickly to the Naya thing, she's a seasoned, like, veteran of doing, you know, interviews and that kind of stuff. She knew it was a train wreck shit show, and she did so good at letting them hang themselves. She didn't offer up to save nobody. She just sat there and waited. Now, if you watch, I think it's John Pauly's last lap recap on YouTube, if you watch that, it's absolutely excruciating. I don't think they edited it. I think it's the real silence. Because when you watch it, you see when Charlie says something and everybody just kind of starts looking at each other, and Ross is sitting there and nobody's saying anything. And it's not a pregnant pause. It's fucking awkward as all shit. And then you finally get towards, like Ross hasn't necessarily said cut or anything yet, but he's like, you know, it's supposed to happen. And that's when Naya's like, am I supposed to leave? And I was like, I was like, if that's exactly how it happened and you literally went for 6 or 7 seconds of absolute silence, humiliating.
Wow.
Like, just
wow. Yeah.
crazy. So,
yeah.
But my whole thing about Untucked, so we can get to Damon, is just I thought that there was a whole bunch of disrespect going on when Aja came for Valentina. Uh-huh. And then between Eureka and Trinity, and like, just, you know, I was like, all right, yeah, here's the drama, like, that people have been kind of waiting uh-huh. for. And it just, it really kind of bothered me because.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone notably has a very level head on their shoulders a little later about how they're handling, like, when shit comes flying. So, but I, not to.
Back to what I said earlier.
Yeah. Damon, what about you? Your thoughts on Untucked?
For me, I think actually someone actually put it, I'm pretty sure it was Alexis, I think, that said, someone said perspective is important in the fourth Untucked. And that's sort of my way from all of this, is that there are certain things that are being done, that are being said, that are being taken out of context, I think mostly because everyone has their own perspective on things. You know, Eureka and Trinity, for example, Eureka has this, they have this long, we know, because they've told us like 20 times, they've had this long standing sort of beef with each other about, you know, past pageants and blah, 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 and wah, wah, wah. So we know, we knew that was going to be something that was going to be ahead of it. I don't think, no matter, unless they happen to be on, well, they were on the same team, if they happen to be on something where Frank, if Eureka is the lead and she picks Trinity and they do something together and they get the same thing, then we know there's never going to be a, there's not going to be a Coco Montrese, her name just Alyssa left Edwards. My head.
Alyssa?
Yeah. Alyssa Edwards. Thank you. Gosh, why did her name just leave my head? Alyssa Edwards, like, kind of like, like, we had a fight, but then we're kind of get together and we're good now, kind of thing. I don't think that's ever going to happen with those two. They both have really, really big bios. Or not bios, shit. They both have big personalities. What we've heard in some of the things is one of the things that Trinity mentioned, I think in the fourth, when she was talking to Aja, and she's like, nobody knows what I've been through. So blah, 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 blah. And I'm always kind of this standoffish kind of thing. I'm like, okay, well, if I were looking at you, I see a raging bitch. That's what I see. So, so I'm immediately you. Like, I'm going to be on the fence. Anything you say or do, I'm going to probably take out of context. Perspective is important. Same with, like, Aja and Valentina and a few other girls, you know, it's all about how you're looking at things and how you're perceiving things. And it's becoming, especially in Untucked, a little bit more interesting to see how these girls are hopefully trying to build this. Like, we had this whole idea of like, oh, we're sisters and we thought they were all so nice. Well, guess what? That's not true. That's never the truth. We always think they're going to be sisters and all nice and friendly, and then the shit hits the fan and we get some drama and here we are. We're still having those sisterly moments, but they're probably going to be few and far between now. Chester?
So for me, what I've been noticing in the Untucked episode, and a lot of this is going back to what Gary's talking about, I haven't really seen any alliances form. There's no Rolaska talks going on. But there is, you know, the drama is starting to happen. There's definitely moments where they're cracking under the pressure. Let's see, Aja coming at Valentina like she did. So you watched episode 3 of Untucked?
Episode 3, yeah.
And she, her, and Valentina's just like, you know what? I'm not even gonna respond, which I think is a smart move. And then episode 4. I think it's kind of right away in the beginning. Maybe it's towards the middle. You know, Aja actually apologizes to her, saying, you know what? I'm sorry. You are a good person. I understand what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So that was good for Aja. I'm glad that she apologized like she did. I think she realized that she was in the wrong. But yeah, I think Gary's onto something with Eureka and just constantly talking over people the way that she does. And saying things that are questionable about her own character as a person. Particularly in the conversation with Sasha when they were doing their makeup. And Sasha made a comment about eating disorders.
Yeah. Then,
I don't remember the exact wording of the conversation, but I know that Eureka made some joke about there being about an eating disorder. And Sasha was like, well, you know, what you're saying isn't very nice. People come up to me all the time and wonder if I'm anorexic. And she says she's having a difficult time for me. Now, being a bigger guy and being attracted to bigger guys, I understand that Eureka probably has to deal with eating disorder comments all the time because she's a big girl. So it's not like she doesn't understand what it's like to be on that side of people treating her differently because of her size. It doesn't give her the right come after Sasha the way she did, though.
Yeah. It was tactless.
Yeah.
In her regards. It was a very I don't know if maybe we're missing intent, but I feel like the intent was meant to be something, because I feel like, yeah, it's not always about skinny bitches kind of thing. And I'm kind of like going, no, it's pretty much asked you to not be funny and make a joke about something like that. And you're kind of saying, oh, well, whatever. There's this, that, and the other. It falls like it's like a lot of things that we hear about, like, you shouldn't make fun of black folks. Well, I have a black friend. Like it's kind of like that kind of thing. Like,
right.
No, you know, it's not about like, hey, well, I'll put it frank. It's not about you. If someone kind of asks you to be respectful of something, you can either stop or you can just shut the fuck up.
Or you can do what Eureka said
and say something.
I think that's kind of what Eureka, or not Eureka, what Sasha was getting at with Eureka in saying that it's not about you at this moment. It's about me. We're talking about me.
Yeah.
And then Eureka just steps all over her during that moment.
Yeah. So that's sort of my big thing. Like, I get that. And that's part of my major, one of the bigger issues that I could foresee with Rika down the line. I get you, Gary. I get why you're about to have it officially with her. Because she's getting to the point where, like, she was one of my favorites when she first, in the first episodes. I was really liking what she does. She seems very, she's a big girl, because, you know, we're all big guys and yeah, whatever. And I was like, okay, I get that. I'm liking that kind of, you know, worried about it. She's proud and she's one of the better ones, no offense, that we've had on the show in a while. A big girl that's actually and is actually really, really good. However, unfortunately, her is driving her, my interest and lack for her, down. She was one of my favorites, and now I'm kind of like going, maybe I won't feel so bad when you get eliminated by Trinity. I won't feel so bad.
Yeah.
There we go. There's a tear. So, yeah.
Nice.
Sorry. Yeah, and I agree with you right now. There's not been any, as far as we can tell, there's not been any real alliances, Chester. I'm noticing everyone right now has been pretty much individual. And there have been some friendships, quote-unquote, forming, but I don't think there's been anything like alliances, like we're going to go all out and try to make it to the end together or what have you. But I feel like there's a potential for it. I could see a couple of things going on that I could see it happening. We'll see.
Contestants that might team up with each other in the time to come. Because I just see one as being very, very centered. Very like kind of like, you know, knows themselves, knows what they're trying to achieve and is sticking to that and is not really being swayed in one way or the other by anything around them. And I see another one who's doing something similar to that, but unfortunately is getting a little caught up in some other stuff. So I think if they join forces together for any reason, then they might actually kind of, you know, lock in and try to go all the way to the end together. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think that's interesting that you said that, Chester, because I hadn't thought about that at all, about the alliance thing. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. There's really nothing coming forward right now, you know.
The only thing that I can the only alliance that I might see forming, and I don't even want to call it an alliance, I think that they're just becoming close friends, is Sasha and Shay. And maybe, yeah, no, just those two.
Just
because of the way that they interacted.
Yeah.
The way that they interacted in their challenge, the way that they interacted in the Untucked episode. And
Kai.
Yes. Cause they were talking about, I remember when we were doing the cheerleading episode and I had my hand up your dress and I was grabbing your ass. And the other one's like, yeah, I remember you grabbing my ass.
I think that was Alexis though.
Alexis and Shay. Okay. But no, you're right that Sasha and Shay immediately, as soon as the Kai Kai conversation came up, they looked right at each other. Like
they've said they both have boyfriends.
Yeah, they did say something about having boyfriends.
They did mention if they got rid of the boyfriends, they would immediately jump into bed with each other. was basically the imagery, and I was kind of like, oh, all right. But I agree with you. Like, there's definitely a bond between the two of them, so that could be something. And that's not who I was thinking of. I forgot about the boyfriend thing, because I was about to say, oh, I see them totally becoming a couple after this season, based on what we've seen. Anyway.
Yeah.
We ready to continue on?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so for our cool-down topics, the first one is about takeaways. I have two thoughts. Trinity is here to win. She got her win, quote unquote, and deservedly so. I didn't really take any beef with her getting it when she won. And my second thought is a question, kind of. Is Aja growing? Like, is she, like, to use a really bad analogy, is she ungrinching? Do you know what I mean? Like, is her heart actually getting a little bigger because she owned up very honestly about the beauty issue and how that relates to how she sees herself and therefore how she behaves, how she paints? I mean, like, it was really kind of interesting to me that that whole turn came about with her, and I was like, wow. So because I know we clocked her on our episode the other night where we were like, this thing, like, those lips are not working, that makeup is too harsh. Michelle was like, I was waiting to see what Michelle was going to say, because Michelle's like talking about her makeup, and then she says, it's just very, what we've seen so far is very dark. And dark is not the word I would have used. I would have said
read her in the room about her makeup, and she said something like, "Oh, well, I think it matches well with my skin."
Well, what she said was, "I think I don't look much different than my photos get posted online." And then Alexis turns around in confessional, I think it is, and talks about how, or is it Shay? I think it's Shay Coulee who actually says, Facetune, or whatever this app is, apparently, it's like Photoshop for selfies. It's kind of like, Shay was basically calling to the camera in confessional to the audience to say, listen, like, when all they see is your online representation, and then they meet you in person, and you don't look as good as your photos, there's going to be an issue. Like not everyone's going to be okay with that. They're going to catch on that, like, what they see online is not really who you are, like, as far as the way you look physically. I thought that was very interesting. So that's what I think that was about, was that they were kind of calling Aja out that she does some digital manipulation with filters and this other shit. And she was like, oh, I think I kind of look the same. And that's when the mic drops and everybody in front of the mirrors is just like, they're all just kind of looking at each other like, girl, did you hear what I just...
Yeah.
He thinks that, okay. Like,
okay.
And I think it was the beginning of the turn. Like, I think Aja realized that you know, that they're aware of, like, you know, that this does not necessarily match that. And notably, this is kind of when the unexpected maternal coaching came out of Valentina. In two different times, she was saying to Aja, maybe what you should do is this. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about that? And I was like, whoa. I was like, there is some counseling. Like, that's what that is. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's coaching. That's counseling. That's very much like on a, I want you to be a better person. And I think, you know, you've got a lot of things to work on. And like, why don't you just do this one thing or this other thing? I thought that was pretty, pretty interesting. And Trinity jumped off that too in the episode 3 Untucked. She picked up where Valentina had stopped because Aja started resisting. She started throwing up a wall. And Trinity was like, girl, I get you. Like, sized. But then Trinity hit the goddamn nail on the head with a fucking jackhammer because she said, we all signed up for this. And that means we're all here to get criticism. It's the name of the game. And I was like, amen. Like, that's what this whole thing is about. Like, you need to be ready to hear shit, whether you like it or not. And then I think it was really great that they were saying, do just one thing, just one little thing. Show the judges that you are actually trying to take their, you know, their critique, their, you know, advice, whatever it is, and see how that works. And I thought that was pretty spot on, because honestly, I think that's the reality of the show. I mean, even Bianca Del Rio in her season kind of got read about being predictable, not only with her makeup, but also her look as far as her silhouette and stuff. Like, yeah, you didn't know your silhouette, but I mean, as she makes a joke now, she's like 40 fucking dresses, exact same cut. But notably, she did try to like tweak some things and make it a little different. Pretty much in the week or in the next episode, right after she was challenged with an idea or whatever. So that's the thing where I'm like, is Aja growing? Is she really like kind of maturing in right in front of our eyes very quickly in a couple of episodes? So I don't necessarily think she's, you know, suddenly going to sprint to the end, but.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Bianca Del Rio, because I have, and you're bringing up this thing about Aja and wondering if she's growing, because while I was writing my stuff into this doc, I thought about Aja as being Adore Delano 2.0. And about, do you remember when Bianca pulled Adore aside and said, look, this is what you need to do. This is what the judges want you to do. You need to grow and you need to show them. Got that same feeling from Valentina and Aja's interaction.
Yeah, and that's part of this weird thing about it's just, it came from someplace I didn't expect. Like, I would have expected it out of Charlie, most definitively. I would have expected it out of Alexis and probably Trinity. Like, not so much Eureka. Even though Eureka has done pageants, she's a little too hot-headed, I think, like, to take that perspective and kind of look and be like, okay, like, I can see where you are versus this, and how you can, you know, kind of do some stuff to build yourself up or whatever and change it. But yeah, so those were my two thoughts. Trinity is here to win. She did exactly what she said she was going to do. She did not like the fact that Valentina won with the wedding outfit for the white party. And she was like, I'm coming for you. She's like, and I'm taking, you know, your win away from you or whatever. And then sure enough, the very next episode, she won. So I was like, okay. So is that how it works for Trinity? She needs that fire in the belly.
Yeah.
Notably, she didn't win again. So, I'm like, all right, well.
I think sometimes part of the issues, or maybe, again, we can say editing, we can do whatever we want to say, but I think sometimes there are things that need to be done to succeed, and sometimes it needs to be like, oh, well, I should have won that. I felt I should have been, I was the best. So this time around, instead of wallowing in why didn't I win, let's do something about it and try to win it. And, oh, she did, yeah. And then she was like, oh, it was great on challenge. And she was kind of riding high on that. I think she was riding a little bit too high on that, like, win. And then came along this challenge that honestly really, really, I think, threw her for a loop. She does really, and what I'm getting from Trinity is she does really well on her own. Like, she can do it because she knows herself and she can go all out and everything else. I feel, and this is a theory, I feel that she's probably going to not do so well on team challenges as much, only because I think she knows herself. Now, if you were in a challenge and you were told to shine, like the cheerleading challenge, for example, yeah, you're going to shine. But if you, because it's, yeah, you're a team, but you're individually signing. Whereas in this other one, the news anchor thing, I think she flopped mostly because she didn't rely on her team.
Yeah.
Right. No, I agree. Damon, what about your takeaways?
Loving the judges this year. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just something, maybe because we're not getting as much of them, but there were a couple of moments, especially in the third episode, that I just laughed my ass out about. One of the first one was the Rue and Michelle Visage's talk about Kimora's struggle.
Her struggle, like, coming out here to struggle.
Yeah. Her coming out without her, what, her pads or whatever she was saying to see what's going on about. And I was like going, yeah, like they were cutting her to shreds and I was loving it. And again, like I mentioned earlier during my rant about Pheromone and her dress, Todrick Hall literally said, if I remember correctly, in season past, you know, I've heard Michelle and Rue say, like, you shouldn't come out here with a piece of fabric wrapped around your waist. And here you are. It looks like you're coming out here with a piece of fabric wrapped around your waist. And I was like, right there, right for that jugular, just like, and it just, it's, I've been really, really loving that the judges are, and maybe, like I said, I'm thinking part of it might be because as much of them, like you said, Chester, like the runways are going really quickly. We're kind of getting like little bits and pieces of their like jokes, whereas in times past we get a lot of their corny one-liners and they've gone through them like three or four times. We know they, you know, we know they walk like three times or something like that, so they can get those little jokes and puns and whatever in, and we're not getting a lot of that, and I kind of like that because it makes the things that they say funnier, because it's not like one word after the other, right after the other, right after the other. It's a an emit, like a real quick hit, and then it goes away. So that's pretty much the thing. I'm kind of really, really loving the judges so far. Couple of them have just been dead on, and I mean, obviously, Lady Gaga was a great, like, for the more compassionate, like, true, like, judging, critical, but not overly, like, vicious judge. She was very much a critical judge on things. So loving the judges right now for their hilarity and their quick one-liners that are not overly done.
Yeah. Let's see. So for me, a lot of this is going off of what Gary was talking about. The top contenders are starting to emerge. I mentioned earlier that we're seeing bits and pieces of certain queens showing their strengths, but overall they're not. You know, that nobody's really grabbing me, but certain queens are doing really good things. Notably, Trinity, Shay, Sasha, Nina, Cynthia, Valentina. Eureka, if she could check her attitude. they're all showing bits and pieces of them that if they keep it up and keep that momentum, do really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I've really got to add about my takeaways so far from these two episodes.
Okay. Well, we're ready to move on. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm starting to want to see more from a few of them, like Trinity and Shay and Sasha. Those three, I kind of really want to see just a little bit more from them.
Yeah. I'm getting a like, we were at dinner earlier and Jim asked me, do you have any like top three or top contenders? And at this point, I'm not, he said, no one is really like, oh my God, I'm really loving them and I'm really enjoying them. And, but I did say, I did actually point out Valentina to me is really, really so far has been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I. Yeah. And, but again, I joked with him, like you were saying, Gary, that I don't think she's been doing this for 10 months. I really, really don't think she's just been doing this for 10 months. There is way too much going on there that she's just been doing it too much. And it's not just her like polish and in her drag. It's also when she's in confessional and some of the things she says and some of the things she does. There's something going on there. Like, I don't know what yet, but something's like, I don't know if you're lying for the sake of the show and what have you, okay, I get that, you know, but maybe you did drag in Mexico or somewhere, wherever, and you've been doing it for years, but you've only just been doing it in the United States for 10 months. I don't know. Something, because you are too well done and made up and looking so flawless and outfits are so on point and everything for me to be like, no, you've been doing this for a while. You ain't been doing this for 10 months, less than a year. No. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about, but are we ready to move on to the next segment?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing? You're supposed to do the thing. Okay.
Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
All right. That was just a horrible delay. Last episode, everything cut off. Tonight, shit's like not playing along. All right. Snaps and eye rolls or hits and misses for us, highs and lows. So for me, I have two different things for snaps. My first one is that the cuckoo is explained. Like, we finally know where the hell this thing came from.
I was laughing my ass off at it.
I was so happy that Cynthia Lee Fontaine finally told us on camera what the hell that's from, because everyone talks about it like it's a drag slang thing, and I'm like, well, then it's obviously not Latin. Do you know what I mean? Like, because otherwise, I probably would have heard it before, and I would hear it all the time or something. But
yeah.
So I was happy that got explained. Also, I want to give snaps to the queens for being lovingly real, and by that I mean I think they're being 100. Do you know what I mean? They're just putting it out there more often than not. Whether I like the things they say is a different issue. But I appreciate that they are being vocal and expressing themselves and talking about their feelings and their, you know, their emotional states and things like that. So I think that's good for the show, and it's also good for them. And then my eye rolls. Yeah. Girl. So I got three things to say. Attitude. I got time for it. And it's all kind of coming from one very specific person, because at least one other one ate a little crow, had some humble pie for dessert, and like it started to change. So I, that's the one thing about this show that I'm just not a fan of.
So I'm going to say this just because you mentioned it. I wrote it down, and it made me laugh out loud, because I know you're one of the people you're talking about with attitude was Aja. And it was during the Untucked on the episode 3 of Untucked. And Aja was like yelling at Valentina about stuff. And I literally wrote down Aja coming for Valentina looking like Ronald McDonald. Like with those big ass lips and that red hair. It caught me off guard, and I wrote it down. I was like, oh, that's bro, I'm nasty. I should not say that, but I'm so gonna say that.
Okay. I will say this. I will repeat, funniest line yet this season was not on the show. It was on an after show. Raja and Raven do their photo review where they talk about the outfits that the contestants wear. Funniest thing to date, I think it's Raven says Raja is mad at Aja's princess outfit. She's like, there's nothing princess about this. And then Raven turns around and she's like, she is giving you heat miser realness.
Yes. Yes.
So for those of you that have seen the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer claymation series over the years, and you have seen Heat Miser, yeah, like it was way more in that realm than it was anything else.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I thought that was kind of one of the funniest lines about that thing. But yeah, so no, the attitude, I'm just like, nope. Like, just not.
Yeah.
So Damon, what are your snaps and eye rolls?
Actually, believe it or not, my snaps, my biggest snaps are for Shay and Sasha's. Oh my God, I was laughing my ass off the entire time, and it started from the beginning, and they kept going with it, and it kept getting funnier and funnier, because it was so perfect. It worked so well, and they were playing off each other, and they were doing all this stuff, and it was magic. Like, go, you guys, you nailed this shit, like, to the wall. It was
Evan and I were sitting on the couch together watching that episode. And when they turn towards each other to kiss, he's like, I don't know if I like that. I think it was a little too long. And I turned at him and looked, and I just started going in really slow towards him. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, can't you feel the tension? That's what made it so great. It's because it was so slow the way they did it.
Yes. It was magic. It was just the greatest. It was a good, perfect amount of tones, plus being really awkward, and then you add the food into the mix and just throw this sort of wrench into it, and then it was all about the chocolate bars. That was the thing. Like, I forget who said it. Like, oh, it was Sasha. She said,
"Do you like chocolate?" It's like, yes, I love chocolate.
I was like, yes. That was my snaps all around two times for that, because it just, yeah, it was great. Of the show so far, hands down, amazing. I have two eye rolls I actually had to deal with, because we haven't really mentioned it yet, the people who've been eliminated these next two episodes. So my first one eye roll is about Kimura's quote-unquote struggle, as I laughed about earlier. Her whole, like, I'm not where, like, I'm first time and I feel so vulnerable without my hip pads or whatever, and I'm like going, bitch, please. You already got a decent little ass and you're small anyway. It doesn't really matter what you wear. And to flip on that with her, the way she was acting in the Untucked and how she was all like, you know, I'm going to miss all my girls and da da da. And I'm like, where the fuck from? Seriously, it was hilarious, but it caught me and it pissed me. It was so wrong in my mind. Like, just why are you so, like, it felt so, she feels so fake to me. And that's why when I'm like, I wrote down, where was the shit in the show when she was talking all about missing the girls and all the tears and everything. And I was like, where was this in the show? Because on the show, you came off as a bitch, like a, and you were whiny and you were complaining and you, like, you were so very like, everything is done for me, hoity-toity princess shit. And I was sitting there like, yeah, that's what's coming off. That was what was coming off in the show. And little bit kind of redeemed you, but not enough for me. So that's one of my eye rolls. It's like, yeah, you don't need to be doing this shit. This is, I don't want to call it Drag Race. I don't call it a boot camp. I call it like a gauntlet. And you're going to be doing a lot of shit that you don't normally do. So if you can't cut that, if you can't do that, then you just don't need to be on the show. I don't care what you think you're going to get out of being on the show. People may not have as much respect for you as a performer if you, the way that you acted on this show, I have very little respect for you. Because you kind of come off as a self-absorbed bitch.
Spoiled little brat.
Spoiled little brat. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, and that's
I'm going to tag on to that for just a moment, because I didn't put it anywhere in the document, but I realized that I do want to at least get this off my chest. If there has ever been a queen in seasons, 9 regular seasons and 2 seasons of All-Stars, mind you, if there has ever been a queen that I do not have any respect for at this moment, it is Kimura fucking Black. Period.
Point blank.
I do not care. No, I don't care for her personality, her attitude, her. I was just like, you really are fucking clueless. Like, just don't get it.
Yeah. Like,
and more importantly, seem to lack talent. And that was the most infuriating part of this entire thing. Was, I think the only reason she got on there is because she can give good face, which is not flawless.
but good body.
She paints well. She can put on a good body if she, you know, is allowed to shape her body. But yeah, no, I was like, yeah.
She didn't go up there unpadded, and that was a real struggle for her.
Right. And that's why I think she's a twat. I'm like, seriously, girl, you're going to say in front of the judges, like, how this is such a struggle for you. I was like, that's why Michelle Visage read you and made fun of you with the other judges present.
Yes.
I was like, oh, give me a goddamn break. I was like, nope, 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 nope. Like, she is the one person I don't care to hear from or ever see again. And I don't mean that she can't, you know, continue to do drag. I got no interest unless her attitude changes or something else. I'm like, really? Like, for as much as people hate on Mimi and for Fifi about their attitude, I'm like, at least they've got fucking talent and they can do shit.
Yeah.
Miss, this is hard. I've been stoning for a long time. I was like, oh, here we go.
Yes.
And it just kept building and building and building. And then she has to have a moment and have a speech. And I'm like, shut up. Just stop. Stop, 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 stop. No, and so stop. I just
stop.
That's why I don't even have an iris for her. I do not recognize her existence anymore. I'm just done.
Well, gone anyway.
I am D-O-N-E. Done.
Done.
If you see the series that Michelle Visage is still doing, the What You Packin', this season, it's really been upgraded. They're no longer in hotel rooms. They're actually on a goddamn set. And it's all white. And they have their outfits hanging in the background. And one's on a mannequin near them and all this stuff. It's actually really looking great right now. And she, you know, kind of runs through the, you know, what were you thinking? How did you feel? Blah, blah, blah. Kimora's is the worst by far. It was so infuriating. Even I caught that Michelle had a brief moment where even I think she could not hide the moment of girl, please. I was like, nope.
Yeah, my main problem, I think I obviously overall had with was very self-absorbed. Like me. Even her speech was all about B and I and all this stuff and how I'm gonna miss you guys, da 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 da, and I count you guys as my sisters and blah blah blah. I'm like, it's me, it's very narcissistic. There's the word. That's the word I was looking for. She's a narcissistic bitch, and I was through. I was through. Now, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention that I think it's funny that she talks about Aja. And I want to say it was in the second episode where she makes a comment about Aja, where Aja's, you know, pulling this dress out. And she says, oh, this is fur that's been dyed with saffron or something like that. I don't remember the specifics. But Kimora says something about it. She's like, nobody cares that you buy these designer dresses or that so-and-so made your dress, but then turns around and says that shit herself. It's like,
again,
you're such a hypocrite.
Again, self-absorbed. Like, doesn't know what an adjective is. Self-absorbed.
I don't know what an adjective is.
Adjective is a word that describes it now. Like, come on, bitches. Like, that's like second grade. Like, come on.
Right. No, and so I will say this. There is one queen who I was not necessarily a fan of, but I will say this. At least Gia Gunn has fucking talent.
Mm.
Like, not only can she paint, she can dance. She's not as great as like some of the other dancers, but she can dance and she has a sense of identity about how to do things and knows how to market herself and have a brand. I'm like, girl, no, you don't have a brand. You don't have a concept. You don't have a personality. You don't have a lot of things. So,
yeah. So the anyway, second half sorry. Of my eye roll is only, so it's not nearly as bad as what we've been going through because we could have ripped on Kimora for like ever. But I am giving a couple of eye rolls to Charlie. And the only reason I'm giving it to her is we know now why she did what she did, quote unquote. But I feel like that wasn't the best thing to do. So for those who have seen the episode, the bottom two are Charlie and Trinity. Now, Trinity, they do this song, and Trinity is going for it. Like, not even playing, like, shit. She's doing flips and splits and doing that song and dancing around and taking that stage and eating it like nothing else. And there's Charlie standing there performing a song.
Telling kids to get off his lawn.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. And
are you okay there, Gary?
I'm fine. I just wasn't ready for that line. It was
get off my lawn.
Because it was a good line.
But
telling kids to get off her lawn.
But we know what she says. She says, you know, she's in the Queens in London. Actually, I wrote it down. I even wrote it all down. I'm not a lip sync performer. 99% acts in London sing live. Okay. You ain't in London. You're on RuPaul Drag Race. You're on season 9. All Stars, where you're lip syncing for your legacy. This is your lip syncing for your life. I get it. We hear in Untucked that she literally said if she ever bottom, she might as well just go home because she's not going to lip sync. And I understand it. Perspective of that's not what you do. The reason I'm giving you my eye rolls is because it just doesn't work for me. That's not, and you would know going on the show that that's something that you would eventually have to do. And I get that you pretty much made the decision about it, that you're not going to do it. I would have said, if I'm not going to do it, then I'm not going to do the show. That's part of the show. If you could have done really well, like you were saying, like Bianca Del Rio, and made it all the way to the end and never had the lip sync, okay. At what we've known in the past few seasons, in the finale, the finalists do a lip sync performance. So what would you have done then? Changed it up and performed live for everyone? I mean, that could have been possible. Made it from 14, well, you didn't know 14, but 13 queens to top 3. That's 10, 11 people you would have had to eliminate. And I love you, Charlie, but I don't think you would have gone that far. I'm just saying, there would have been a point where we now know that you would have had to have done a lip sync for your life. And you should have. I know you.
The only way he would have been able to make it through that is if it would have been like Latrice, where she got
natural
You Make
woman.
Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Yeah. And she stood there and belted it out, unlike whoever she was lip syncing against, who was flipping and King dancing Michaels, all over the
Kenya
place.
Michael.
The judges, yeah, Kenya, and the judges said, Latrice did a better job because she understands what the song is and made it her own.
Yeah,
that would have been.
It just it didn't. Yeah,
right. I think that's the gamble that Charlie took. I think Charlie thought. She never gave the second option. I think her first option was, maybe I can make it all the way to the top 3 without lip syncing. And then the song that's written for me, if that trend continues, you know, would have been something, you know, much more suited to her than Britney. was in this case. But on the flip side of it, yeah, she never explained, you know, that the second option would have been exactly what Chester is saying, which is a ballad, basically. So, yeah.
And I respect her decision. Give her the respect. And I love that she, you know, and especially in the Untucked, she was like, you know, the seasoned queens should go out there and they should keep doing this. And like, you should be 40, 50 and still audition and be on the show and try it and do it. I get that. But you've kind of set a not so great example. Your poise was very great and you were very elegant and your looks were really great. And some of the things that you pulled out while you were, you know, everything. And I feel like you would have been really, really bright. They would have been really pretty depending on what they were for. I would have loved to have seen her do Joan Rivers. I would have loved to have seen her really go out for that. But I think she defeated herself. And I think that's maybe my main problem is that she has essentially defeated herself. And I think, again, I think that's sort of my biggest sort of reason why I'm eye rolling her on this. And she did get eliminated, and surprisingly, not surprisingly so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, those heels were like this. Wouldn't have seen her doing much in them to begin with. But I think you should have done something better, something different. I think you should have gone for it. Maybe not necessarily gone all like wild and crazy like Trinity does. I think you still probably would have lost the lip sync no matter what you had done. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. So there you go.
Chester, your snaps and eye rolls?
For my snaps, Trinity Taylor, may I call your ass Jiggly?
That was lovely.
Did you guys see?
I saw it.
Her ass when she was doing her lip sync. It was all over the place. So I will say this, that I think Trinity did a really great job at her lip sync. She was energetic. She was hitting all the beats with things. Her and Aja, both of them can do lip sync really well. And I think that's a quality you need to have for being on Drag Race, which goes into my next point. How is it that this show is on its 11th season and queens don't know things like how to sew, how to lip sync?
Yeah.
I could have done better than Charlie did. I probably could have done better than Kimora for that matter.
Mm. Okay. So back on the Kimora issue.
About Kimora's lip sync against Aja.
Well, I'm going to say this. That song, Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero, it is like one of my all-time favorite songs ever. And that shit got me so excited and then so pissed off. I was excited that they got the rights to do that song. I'm like, every motherfucking drag queen should burn the motherfucking house down with that song. It is a torch anthem about a woman yearning a man. I mean, it's like, how much more do you need? It's big. Yep. It's bold. It's fucking, you know, like a beautiful, heavy-throated woman. I mean, it was so insane to me. I was like, oh my God, they're going to fucking do it. And I'm so excited. And then I watched what they did. And I'm not going to say that Aja did bad, but Aja is not the person I wanted to see do that song. So I was not ecstatic or overjoyed with her performance. I think that in comparison to Kimora, it was fucking obvious as black and white. Polar opposites in terms of like being able to pull off that song. Kimora pissed me off. Like, she already pissed me off about a bunch of shit. And then she didn't know the words of the song. And that was the end for me. I was like, really, girl? Really? Like, at least Charlie standing there, not moving much and very much resigned, waiting for it to be over with so she could be dismissed, knew the words for the most part, from what I could tell. I did not really clock like Kimora one time, two times, three times. I think that's the fourth one, not knowing what she was saying. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was like, nay, nay, no, 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 no. Just, and then, so Chester, you had mentioned previously before we got into recording about your issue with what Kimora did in her lip sync with Aja. And I went back and I watched it again.
Sorry,
go ahead, say what you got to say.
Okay, so during the lip sync, it's obvious Kimora doesn't know how to do a death drop. I don't know how to do a death drop, but I'm certainly not about ready to try it. And you're watching them lip sync, and there's a gif going around about, you know, how you commit suicide with Aja in the front and Kimora in the back, and they both do their death drop, and you see Kimora, you see Kimora just kind of like flop. But what was funny is I was rewatching the episode, and I was really paying attention to them, dancing, and there was a part where Aja like does like she jumps up and kicks. And I noticed that right when she does that, you see Kimora's head turn and look at her. She jumps up, gets her foot up in the air, Kimora falls down. And I'm like, oh, bitch, you're copying her. You don't know what you're doing up there. You don't know the song, so you're just going to copy what she's doing. That's why the second time she did it, that's when she actually fell down. It just, I was watching it, and when I caught it, I'm like, did I really just see her watch her try to do it? You know, kind of like fake her out. So I had to rewind it and watch it again. But wait a minute. I'm pretty sure that she did that. That's when I started texting you guys.
So I'm going to say this.
Look at all your notes.
Look at all my notes. This is one of the things I wrote. I wrote down. So in episode two, episode two, when they first lip synced, you know, the bottom two, we got the first bottom two, and it was Kimora and James Mansfield. And they were doing Love Shack. Okay. That's a song, I hate to say, I don't think that's the greatest, like, drag queen, like, lip sync for your life song. I get why they were doing it, because the B-52s were right there, kind of thing. So, it's not really a drag song. So, however, Kimora won that one, and I think the main reason she won it was because, no offense, James, you suck. I'm sorry, this wasn't your game. You were already failing in the first episode, and then you kind of just fell out. So Kimora, there was no way she wasn't going to win that one unless James suddenly blew into this perfect, awesome lip sync performance of the B-52's Love Shack that, I mean, really showed off the comedic side of things. If she had really gone for it, like, you know, did all the voices and changed her face and vocal features and kind of really gone with it, I could have seen her winning it, but that wasn't going to happen because fast forward to the next episode and she's up against Aja. Aja pretty much said, like, I'm going all out. And I remember I saw the Untucked and she was like, I'm doing this. I'm going for it no matter what. I'm going all out. You bitches better prepare for what you see. And she did really go for it with that song. And I agree with you, Gary. That is a drag queen, like, cult, like, classic. Like, everyone has seen the video of the performance where the girl falls from the roof. Like, come on. Like, Like, you're not gonna, like, this is, that's the shit. Like, you're, like, you have to really go all out for this song in order to make it work. And Asda did the best she could, and I think she did really well. Kimora, I just didn't. And I don't know if she kind of resigned herself to losing. I doubt that's the case. Given what she's been saying and her self-absorbed self, she probably was surprised that I'm in. Well, she did say that. I'm surprised I'm in the bottom. Like, why are you surprised? You suck. Like you were terrible. Your princess look with crap. Your little monkey thing made absolutely no sense at all. Like, and you're sitting there in like, I don't know how to paint like a monkey and be a monkey. Have you watched television? Have you seen anything like Tarzan, George the Jungle, anything that made monkeys like funny? I mean, just like anyway. So
I will say this. Charlie got a good dig in that didn't play as a dig, but I know it was a dig. When Kimora says that in Untucked, and then Charlie says, oh, you mean like the rest of us every day? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She was spinning off on, like, she's like, well, I've never done a monkey on a green screen, blah, blah, blah. And I was
we do that every day.
Right. And I was like, oh, wow.
Go ahead, Charlie. With that little sly dig that you put in there. I heard that and I was like, oh.
Yeah. No, it was kind of crazy to me. So yeah, in terms of that song, I was disappointed in the performance, and more so than anything, it was just painful to watch and realize that absolutely Kimora was like doing, I don't even know. Not, I can't even say the
fuck
word.
Fuck off.
She was literally falling to the floor.
Yes. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
There was no death drop to that. And it wasn't even a drop. You were literally falling to the floor, and you sure as fuck didn't die. So.
Her career did.
Oh.
It was a flop.
Yeah, it was mortifying to me. So I just, you know.
It was a fist flop.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just infuriating beyond belief to me.
And I agree with you, Chester. Like one of my major beef with Charlie was that, you know, this is RuPaul's Drag Race season 9. You know something's gonna come where you're gonna lip sync. Like, you should know that. Therefore, like, be prepared for it. And maybe she was technically prepared for it, because she pretty much made a choice that if I get and fall in there, I'm not going to do it. Like, okay.
Well, okay. So well, I don't want to keep the show going really, really long, because it kind of already is. But this is my only thing about, I don't have the same, I guess, feelings about what Charlie did. Because Chester, you had said after we recorded the first two shows, you said, you know, when you get to, I thought you said it was when you get to the end of episode 4, watch everything. Like, try to get a full, yeah, bigger picture about what
more information about it.
Yeah. And I don't have any issues with what Charlie did. My only thing is, I have this question. I don't have an answer to this question. But my question for everybody, you two and the greater audience, to think about is, would it have been better that Charlie walked off without lip syncing?
I think
because that's the alternative. I hear everybody saying she should have done more, and it was embarrassing to listen to the competitor queens who are still in the show at the back of the stage
yelling
to Charlie to step it up, to get engaged and, you know, and do it. And I'm like, that's mortifying to me. I couldn't imagine being Charlie and not already wanting to lip sync, and then on top of it, hearing your teammates, quote unquote, your supporting competitors, thinking that you're like, you're just not doing it, like you're wimping out or whatever. And that's where I was like, well, would it have been better to just walk away, to have actually said at that moment? Because that's what I thought was going to happen. Like, I literally stopped watching the show, went to Untucked, like, and then went back in real time, you know what I mean, in the flow to the actual lip sync, because I was prepared for Charlie to say, actually, Rue, I'm just going to, you know, abdicate and let, you know, Trinity have it or whatever, something, you know what I mean? And she didn't. And I was like, oh, they're really going to lip sync. Kind of. So I don't know if walking away would have been a better choice or not. I think she was damned no matter what she did. And so that's the only other option I saw possible. And maybe she had too much dignity to do that. And maybe that's what's bothering other people, is that they felt that she, you know, she should have done more to lip sync. I don't know. It's very difficult to gauge. But so, yeah.
That's about that. Do you want me to do it now or wait until the end?
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, we're about to get into the last segment, so.
Yeah, I'll just wait.
So for closing thoughts, our final impressions, the only thing I'm going to say is I think there's a dark horse in the race.
Oh.
Yes. And I think that if nobody's paying attention, they are going to be kicking themselves in the ass for all the episodes to come. Unless this person missteps significantly, they are now becoming the one to beat, I think. Because they know what they're doing. They have a concept. They execute it. They stay calm and cool, collected in the fire when people are coming for them. And it's a weird thing that's coalescing and coming together, this like mature talent thing, yet we still don't necessarily have an answer that satisfies how the fuck in less than 1 year do you. So I think the dark horse is Valentina. I think she is underestimated and was not expected to be taken seriously. And it's almost like, what do they call that?
Idiot savant?
No, but that's a different way to look at it. I was going to say like performance art, like, you know what I mean? Like someone's putting on a character that's not really them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't think that's what she's doing, but it's like, I'm just like, it's so, cause I'm still not jiving on the 10 month thing, but otherwise I'm not seeing some big missteps. And the fact that she remains cool, calm and collected was a big win in her category for me, because she was just like, I'm not even going to reply to that. Like, well, I get that Alexis and others are pissed about her princess look and she doesn't really look like a princess. Todrick Hall, I thought, made a very interesting comment about even princesses that are evil can look beautiful. Like, I was just like, all right. Like, I kind of see it. Like, it's not exactly what I would agree with, but, you know, from an execution point, it's not a whole lot to bitch about. So,
and I think the concept was of being like this icy bitch is kind of what she was going for, and it worked really well. When you think about what she was saying, or what her little fairy thing or whatever was saying, it worked really well when you conceptualize it. Like, she's really, really pretty, but she's icy as fuck. And she's, you know, and it just, I liked it. I think it could have been taken up a level. But, you know, maybe she, you know, honestly, I agree with you. Like, she's doing really, really well. I don't think she's under the radar per se, but I think her demeanor, approaching things, is very calculated and very smart. I mean, exactly what she needs to do to get where she needs to go.
Right.
And I agree with you. I don't think it's going to take something major to stop her. So, yeah. So for me, speaking of this kind of idea of, Lexis mentioned this in one of the Untucks, is she's been safe pretty much this whole time. And she's like, are you safe or are you coasting? We're too early in the show to make those decisions. This is technically only the third elimination, but I agree, like, you need to every time go for it and go for the gusto, and if you're going for the gusto and you're doing really well and you feel like you're doing the greatest you can and you still end up being safe, okay, I get what that could be telling you in your head. That could be telling you like, oh, well, I shouldn't be, what can I do? What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? And it would be great to get critiques. And I understand that. That's one of the unfortunate disadvantages of being safe is that you don't get critiqued. You don't get the judge's comments on where you're at and where you're going, and what you need to do to improve, or maybe you're doing really well and this is what we liked kind of thing. So I think like overall, I think the idea right now, to me right now, I'm fine with being safe. These first few episodes, now here we go into episode 5, which is elimination 4. Okay, let's maybe start amping it up a bit, because now it's getting to the nitty gritty where you've been safe this whole time. Let's jump it up a bit to see what we can do to win. Or lose. I mean, not to be rude, but sometimes you got to fail a little bit to get the critiques you need to improve and make yourself better. I think people like Aja really needed that kick about like, okay, this, whatever you just did, her princess look was terrible overall. Like everything didn't look right at all. It just looked like a mess. And I don't think what you thought you were doing really worked. You now know that. And I get that you thought it was going to do really well. Thought happened, didn't happen. You need to change your thinking. So there you go.
So for me, I'm going to start keeping a close eye on Trinity and Aja. Just like Valentina is already on my radar. Just because I think she's been flawless. She is so polished. So I've already put her as going far, unless, like Gary said, she fucks up. But yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on Trinity and Aja, who I've named Adore Delano 2.0, because I do see her transforming and she's picking up tips from people. I really hope Aja can be like Adore and find herself. And my last thing that I'm going to mention, and Gary, you brought it up earlier, how I texted you guys saying, when you get done watching episode 4, dig for more information about Charlie. According to a Vice article, Charlie had cracked his rib 2 different times prior to recording the show. And that during the cheerleading, while they were doing the rehearsals for it, he hurt himself again. Now, I went back and I watched the episode, listening closely for any type of that would help factualize that's really what was going on in the episode. There's nothing. So either the producers didn't include it, or he didn't say anything to anybody at the time. I'm not sure. It's not that I don't believe him. I have every faith that he has cracked a rib and could very well have been in pain. But that is not how the show has been cut and edited to make us believe that. Every time he mentions something about why he didn't lip sync, he says, I don't lip sync. That's not what we do where I'm from. So I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I feel bad for him if he was hurt. But at the same time, if you were hurt, as Gary mentioned earlier, why wouldn't you have just conceded? And that's all I got for that.
That's interesting. I'm looking over that article real quick.
Yeah, it's a good I like this article. I've been reading it while you were talking in a little bit earlier, and I kind of get it. You know, it makes sense. Okay, well, okay, it looks like you had a personal injury that was that resurfaced during the 40, 50 times that you were doing this whole tumbling thing, which if you, we obviously don't see that they did it so many times, but we know that they were practicing it or, you know, and rehearsing it for the sake of the show. So it's entirely possible. We know that in the cheerleading thing, Eureka fell and she, they say that she popped her knee.
Yeah, they say that she hurt herself. Eureka even says something about it. Yeah. They have done the same for Charlie.
Well, again, there's a part of me that wonders, and this is just, you know, speculation potentially, did they already know
the lip sync? Yeah, I'm glancing over this article. It's possible that Owl Presents did not know about it.
Okay. Because that would be something to put into consideration. Well, if they knew she was wasn't going to do it, then they put her in that spot. And the main reason they put her in that spot was so that they could have this moment of, here's Charlie standing there. She was hurt, but she's just, we know that she's just going to stand there and perform, kind of perform. She didn't know the song. She says that in this thing, but she was doing pretty good for not knowing the song. I'll say that much. So her lip sync skills are pretty good for not knowing a song. She was going okay. So it's going to be, I'll read the article and make some decisions about it. But I'm kind of the belief that whatever happened, and there's not really much we can do to change it. Had I wished that she would have done more? Yeah, but given what we kind of know,
I think that about covers it.
Yeah, that article, it's pretty interesting. I've been reading through the question and answer stuff in the interview. It's it's pretty insightful. To kind of the psychology of what Charlie was going through in that. And it's hard to say whether or not, you know, Charlie, the only thing in the article that Charlie reveals that didn't make the cut for the show was that she gets read for the corset being something about the way the corset was or whatever. And she explained that she was duct taped up underneath or like across her midsection. And so she kind of makes a crack about, like, you know, having a lawsuit or something from AARP against, I guess, Wow Presents, or I don't know. And so I don't know. Like, she kind of alludes to the fact that the judges knew why she wasn't, you know, being mobile.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to gauge what happened there. And if that is, you know, part of the reality of what was happening, well, then, you know, it probably adds more to the mystery that everyone has as to why she just kind of stood there and didn't really kind of do much other than, you know, trying to get the words. And then she even admits, previous two songs, I would have had no problem. I fucking bought them on vinyl. And this one, I don't know it. Therefore, I can't, you know. And I mean, she says, I was prepared to just sit down and watch Trinity. And even I kind of thought to myself for a moment, yeah, that's interesting, because Trinity was like, I know why Trinity went as far as she did, because what killed me was that Trinity wasn't paying any attention to Charlie. And I thought, well, that's weird. Why aren't you like at least trying to size up the competition? Because I think she could have realized very quickly, she could have pulled it back a little.
You know, toned it down.
Right.
Or she could have toned it down a bit.
Right. And yeah, still clean the floor with Charlie. And that wasn't the case. And I thought, well, then again, Trinity said, I'm going out there to show what the hell I can do and basically put the fear of God into these other bitches. That if we end up in the bottom two together, you know what's coming for you. So from that perspective, I get why she, you know, she just went the way she did. So yeah, I don't know. It was very interesting. So in a way, we kind of have some lip sync drama now about, you know, how that played out. And I to me, it's not really all that dramatic. It's unfortunate. I don't know. So then again, you know, this just popped in my head. Maybe there's a contract piece that we're not aware of. Maybe if you quit, like the severity of what happens in the future is more than if you get let go.
Yeah. Hmm. Like you forfeit all your stuff like Willem.
Right.
Because he went against the rules. Therefore he had to forfeit everything.
Right. I think if the cracked rib is a true case and it was that bad and it was a medical emergency and was taken in an ambulance, that's a whole different case. And then however that plays out per the contract. But maybe that was why Charlie was like, you know what? I'm staying in and I'm going to stick it through, even though I know it's going to be a shit show. So, yeah, hard to say. But that is our tea time recap of episodes 3 and 4.
Had a lot of
show tonight. This time. Yeah,
I'm more going to say
extra, extra, extra long.
Yeah. So, but there's plenty of ways to contact us if you have feedback on our thoughts or ideas or my outspoken opinion tonight about very specific people. You can go to our website, which is cubsoutloud.com. You can also reach out to us via email, which is simply cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Hey, if you want, you can call us, giving a ring-a-ding. You can leave a voicemail message, and we would even be willing to play it on the show. You can simply call us at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-COL-TALK or 361-265-8255. If you want to do the social media stuff, you go to facebook.com/cubsoutloud, twitter.com/cubsoutloud, Google Plus, which is google.com/plus cubsoutloud. And if you're on any social sites for the Bear community, you could check out Bear Underground and join the COL group over there. You can also rate us on iTunes, give us a thumbs up on Stitcher Radio or any other apps that are out there that you're listening to, all that stuff. We would love to hear back from you. I could be found anywhere pretty much on the web as GareBear73. How about you guys?
I'm TheaterCup79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet, Growler, Facebook, and Pup_Umbra on Twitter.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There or various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pup Shutter or Pupcake76.
And with that, we exit once again to Be Someone from the Butch Queen album, which is RuPaul and Taylor Dane. Be Someone.
Except Kimura.
Shade.
Bye.
Bye.
There we are.
So it's funny. Both, like, as soon as we were in live, it was like boop boop. Like vibrating thing. I was like, oh shit. Yay.
All your devices were alerting you.
What's vibrating?
Well,
it's not any of my toys. They're not visible.
No. I think
oh my goodness gracious.
I think we can begin.